This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria, and for a very lovely morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria. I'm Sharif Quadri. We're reaching live from our audiovisual studio here on Etimi and Crescent, Victoria Island, Lagos, Nigeria. In the next 55 minutes or thereabout, we'll be having a very frank conversation here in the studio about the state of the nation, students kidnapping for ransom, which is becoming a norm in our society today. Following the incessant abduction of students in the northern part of the country, state governors, if you've noticed, they've resorted to shutting down their schools. You know why? Because of the fear that their children, the students, their pupils, will be kidnapped by bandits or by Boko Haram. It is not new in this country that these criminals invade schools to cut away, in some instances, kill the future of this country. In Kano, for instance, 12 secondary schools and 4 tertiary institutions in the outskirts of the state have been shut down. The state has also closed about 5 health training institutions in that state. The same goes for Zamfara. In Niger, the same thing. So governors are scared. They don't know what they should do at this point. The first protocol for them is to shut down the schools. But let me bring in Chris into this conversation. Chris, a very lovely morning to you.
Good morning, my brother. And good morning to the listeners at home.
It's good to have you here. Chris, can you get closer to the microphone so my listener can hear you properly? Now, let me begin this way. The trend that we see today, are you surprised that the kidnapping of students is on the increase? Are you shocked? Are you surprised?
Surprised? No. Bothered? Yes. Troubled? Yes. Worried? Yes, I'm very worried. But let me say this clearly, that when a nation chooses to toil with the future of its children, villains will take advantage of it. If you've been following the trajectory since Chibok, then Dapchi, and in several other invasions of places of learning, kidnap and hostage taken for ransom, and then politicians politicking with it. We have a sad, very sad trajectory, very sad story.
When you say politicians politicking with it, what do you mean by that?
Rather than put proper premium on issues of life, rather than put proper premium on the future and the education of our wards, you find the leading political parties trade blames rather than seek solution to this tragedy. You see them politic with it. Some will tell us, oh, it happened in Chibok. And forgetting that, like Norman Vincent Poe would say, we're cut together in a single network of mutuality. What affects one directly, Martin Luther said, affects the other indirectly. And then Vincent Poe said that don't ask of me for who the bell tolls. It tolls for thee, because we're members, custodians, and partakers of the same planet. Now, what am I trying to say? If you're a parent, it will bother you tremendously to see young kids who leave home to school and who should come back to the safety of their parents, to the safety of their families, taken into the forest. Children that the state should take care of have otherwise become victims of a failure of state. And it's heartrending. And I think that the time has come for politicians of different tendencies, I am a politician myself, to throw away the partisan toga and treat this issue with all the seriousness it deserves. And I say this advisedly.
Okay.
Because if you allow people to toil with education, then this nation has opted for darkness instead of light. It was Patrick Wilmot, when he was deported from Nigeria by the government of President Ibrahim Masi Babangida in 1988, who said at the airport that my crime was I've taught the young to think. The tragedy of the Nigerian state as it is today is that we have decided to underprice. We have decided to toy with the education of our wards. And I say this seriously. Nigeria has about the highest number of out-of-school children.
That's right.
And then with this hostage for ransom, with this villains taking over schools and abducting kids, you find out that so many families are not sending their kids anymore to school.
That's right.
They rather have their children alive than in seeking education, lose their kids. And I think it's another bad trajectory for our country. It will further exacerbate the fear for education and the not. And I think that if that continues, we're in trouble. You know, because largely the problem with Africa, and indeed our country, is the fact that we haven't given the best to our educational sector.
Let me talk to you about what you'd rather the government do about this. I've spoken with a lot of people, Chris, as to what could be the most effective way government can tackle this. Everybody seems to be not sure exactly. Some have said, look, go head on, full military might, go after these people. But these people have hostages. They have people, they have students, they have ordinary Nigerians, everyday Nigerians that they've kidnapped already in the midst of them. If we're saying military, you know, operations against these people, are we willing to incur some collateral damages in this fight? Some have said, negotiate with them. Some have said, if you negotiate with them, they will keep coming back. Chris, please, share me, but just borrow me your wisdom a little bit.
Let me say clearly that I have made several suggestions as to what must be done to solve this problem. And here again, this is an opportunity to say for the opportune time that government must interrogate this whole malaise. And I say this advisedly. If I were president, I would discuss with Boko Haram for two reasons. Even America talked with the Taliban. America engages in proactive dialogue with Taliban for one soldier. Now, we have an insurgency in the Northeast that is that's about 13 years old. So we must talk with the Taliban. But if you ask me, if I were president, will I talk with the bandits and those who are in the business of kidnap for ransom? The answer is no. Because if you do discuss with this sect of bandits, another set, it becomes a new business in town. And so what we must do is seek a solution that is, whether you like, will the carrot on the stick. And I'm saying this advisedly.
Right.
Giving money to villains, bandits, and kidnappers will not stop it. Because what it will do, like I said, is open new vistas. Government can engage with traditional societies, traditional leaders. There is no criminal in a community that is not known to some people within that society or community.
Right.
That was why it was easy for Sheikh Gumi to find them. Now, what you do is make them realize that if they don't, remember it happened in 2007. When the militancy in the South had become so terrible, the former, may God bless his soul, president, Shehu Musa Yadwa.
Yes, Umaru Musa Yadwa.
Umaru Musa Yadwa said clearly that he was going to deal with it. And then he put a time frame on it.
Right.
He gave October 4th then as an ultimatum. You must come out of the creeks, renounce violence, or we'll bomb the creeks. And so many of the boys, the generals in the creeks came out, but it was taking time for Tompolo to come out. And when eventually on the 1st of October, the army started a show of might around Camp 5 and Camp 2, it was obvious that, oh, you can't stand the firepower.
This is no joke.
So I think it was on the 3rd, a day to the deadline, that Tompolo gave himself in. And what am I trying to say? Even the villain, even the bandit wants to leave. So what he needs, how many children do they have that will cover thousands of them? They want to use them as human shields? They cannot. I remember when I was growing up, there was this popular movie, marked for debt.
Hmm.
I remember one particular character, it was Screwface or something, who said, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die.
Hmm.
Intrinsic in the human nature, apart from a few warped minds, is the fact that even these people who are kidnapping kids for ransom want the money for a better life.
Mm.
And I remember one of the interviews that Gumi put out where he was talking with them. They said that their problem is that they don't have education. They don't know what future they have.
Mm.
So what you must do is, in showing the willingness of government to deal with this situation decisively,
right,
you also create a short-term solution.
Mm.
You have about 157 Amajeri schools that were built up by the past administration, Jonathan's administration.
That's right.
Get them to use. Rehabilitate them. Tell them, okay, come out of the bush. We're not going to kill any of you, but we will not accommodate this madness.
Mm.
Begin what you call debriefing.
Mm.
Education and re-education.
Right.
You know, because the time has come for us to understand that we have a serious situation on our hands.
Yes, we do.
If we don't deal with it decisively,
right,
it's going to get worse.
Is it too late?
No, it's not.
Now, you know why I asked the question, Chris? Gumi came out to say that, look, the bandits that I spoke with are not the ones that are operating in Zamfara that kidnapped the over 300 Yangabe girls. So it's looking like we have so many bandits.
It's a big business already.
And they're cashing out. That's what it's looking like. I'm not saying that the government is paying them, but it's looking like it's profitable.
You're not
for
saying.
Them.
But a governor owned up to the fact that they had paid monies to villains and vandals not to terrorize and kill our people. The governor, a serving governor. He's there. He hasn't refuted it.
Is it too late?
So, but I think that it was a sage, Obafemi Awolowo, who said that hope is the last milk in the human breast.
Hmm.
I don't think that... And then it was Madiba Mandela who said, my mentor, who said that the time is always right to do right. No matter how bad we have to set out now to deal with the situation.
Hmm.
And the first thing government must do is take politics and politics out of it. Security of lives and property does not know the APC or the PDP.
That's right.
Now,
that's
the right. Second thing government must do is re-energize the NOA to begin to preach to Nigerians about the need to preserve and protect lives. Then ask Nigerians, if you know something, say it. Go to the nearest police station. You know, there is no major kidnap of more than 10 persons that you wouldn't have information around the streets. You don't... Human beings are not like sardines that you can just put in a carton take away.
That's right.
So I think that the time has come for both the community leaders and the security agencies at very local levels to begin to synergize with the DSS, the police, and the armed forces. There must be a major military collaboration to deal with this malaise.
Right.
But I think that first... You know, when this government came on board, we used to talk about the body language of Mr. President.
That's right.
I think we need that body language now. He must say to Nigerians, and indeed to those who superintend our security architecture,
right,
that I'm not for anybody, truly, that I want Nigeria safer than I met it, that I must fire anybody who fails to... Because, you see, part of the problem was that he allowed an underperforming service chiefs to longer time. And so, for these bandits and villains and insurgents, it became like, oh, it's a less fair. We can just do anything we want. And the government doesn't care. He's comfortable with the way things are going.
Mm.
But I think that the time has come. In other climes, if you're not delivering on your brief, you're fired.
Mm.
The time has come for government to understand that the primary reason for electing leaders is for the protection of lives and property, primary reason.
That's right.
Then every other thing comes next.
Mm.
And then, sadly, if the lives of our children has been put online because of a failure of state, then government must take responsibility.
Mm.
That's what I think we must begin to
listen, talk. If you're just joining us right now, you're welcome. I call him Chief Chris Nwankwobia is here in the studio with me, and we've been, you know, rubbing minds on, you know, the kidnap for ransom going on, especially kidnap of students for ransom going on. In another part of the country. I am Sheriff Quadri. We would like to have you join this conversation. You know, here, conversation comes first, and you're part of what we're talking about this morning. Feel free to join us right now on Facebook and on YouTube. We're there. We're live. You can see Chris, red cap. Are you a red cap chief?
Well, I'm a chief, but the reason I don't put it in my name.
Yeah, but I'm calling you that one now.
It's because chief sounds like thief. And, and the only difference is the T and the C. And tragically, we live in a country where anybody can become a chief if he has money, and nobody cares about how he got the money. So I simply would rather be called a prof.
Okay.
Or simply Chris Mustafa Wonkabia Jr. But what is important is we have to help reinvent the values of our society. And that's why I believe that government must show the way. You know, the average Japanese will say that leadership is like a pyramid, top to bottom.
That's right.
And leadership must take initiative. Mm. I believe that if the present leadership decides to wake up to its duty, a lot can be done to protect our children and stop this kidnap of our kids from schools.
Before I go to the telephone, I need to ask you this. It's yes, we're not there yet in my line of questions, but let me just jump in and come to you. This kidnap for ransom going on, you mentioned it in passing in the other time about, you know, the Almajiri schools for the bandits and all. But I want to talk to you about those kids, those children that are already going to schools and their parents. How bad is the damage to education, in especially the northern part of the country? How bad do you think this kidnap ransom, how bad?
Very bad. I'm aware that after the Chibok kidnap, quite a lot of parents refused to send their daughters to school. And several international agencies have been trying to inspire faith and build courage for parents to begin to send their daughters back to school. As you and I talk, some of the Chibok girls are still missing.
That's right.
Then the Dapchi scenario made it worse. Mm. As you and I talk, Clear Shaibu is still not
back. Still there, that's right.
And it doesn't appear like government is really thinking or talking about her anymore.
You look at the Bunyadi massacre.
It's sad. Mm. It's sad. Mm. Now, having been a victim of this kidnap problem, I feel the pain. I know it. Mm. Remember In 2015, my immediate younger sister was kidnapped, and she died in the hands of kidnappers.
Oh, so sorry.
So I know what parents are going through. I know what wards and families are going through. Mm. And basically, in a space that has the highest number of out-of-school children in the world,
that's right.
The North is in a terrible situation, because if you were to confront me as a parent and ask me, would you send your child to school when it's obvious that the safety of your ward is not guaranteed? Mm. The answer would be no. Mm. And then what is the collateral damage in actuality? If you think about the future of that child, about the future of the North, I think that the time has come for every Northern intellectual, the time has come for every leader in the North to wake up. Mm. Throw away the political differences, throw away political obscurantism, throw away political partisanship, and sit together. They must make it a matter of urgency. Mm. You know, make education, declare state of emergency on education and security. Mm. The reason I'm saying this is because if they fail to, what they did in the past that led to this malaise.
That's right.
Will leave us with something worse than Boko Haram and the present banditry. Mm. Because whether you like it or not, these kids who are taken into the forest by armed men need serious psychological help and debriefing. Mm. Now, if these kids are left with the impression that, the people who took us into the forest and didn't allow us food and didn't allow us to take our bath for 10 days, 15 days, 5 days, if you like, were settled by government. Temptation to see that as a way to a better future.
It's a means of survival.
Yes, it's high. And that's exactly why I said that we must be careful what seeds we sow today. The North must wake up to... A friend of mine called me and said, is the stew they cooked? When the leader of the Talakawas, Aminu Kanu, was calling out the North to educate her kids, and they said, this man is mad. The Almajiri system is intrinsic in our society, is part of our way of life. And he kept telling them, what we're sowing today, the seed we're sowing today, we will harvest tomorrow. They didn't listen to him. When Balarabe Musa kept on the same trajectory as governor of Kaduna State. Mm. He was impeached. Mm. And the North, the immediate past, the removed emir, deposed emir of Kano.
That's right.
It was part of the reason they deposed him. They said he was becoming too vitriolic and too offensive in his call. Mm. And then they took him out. Mm. Now, that stew has come out damn too pepperish.
Mm.
And the North is in trouble. I think that the leader of a country must wake up to the reality. And let me give you a practical instance.
Yes, please.
The reason I believe that this problem can be solved, if we want, is that we have an example of what can be done with state security in Kogi. The young man there, who's my friend and brother, Kogi,
right.
Kogi, most Nigerians do not know that Kogi State borders about 9 states in the country. A state with 9 borders. Is today the safest in the North and the second safest in Nigeria. And that's because what he did was when he decided to deal with the issues, Kogi was very unsafe when he decided to talk with all tendencies.
Mm.
The PDP, the APC, the traditional leaders, and the boys on the streets.
Mm.
And he told them that if you do not buy into the need for a peaceful Kogi, where Christians and Muslims, where people of different tendencies can live in peace, then we will come down on you with the full weight of the law. And he reached an understanding with the security agencies.
Mm.
They went out to the street to work. Today, as you and I talk, that state that has 7 borders, I'm aware that you may have seen pictures of where the Kogi State Vigilante Service rescued policemen who were kidnapped, And I think that's what our dear president must learn. There's something that the federal government can take away from it.
Okay.
You don't politic. Because every time you hear about the kidnap, is it that Lai Mohammed? Is it my brother and a boy, Femi Adesina? Or Garba Shehu steps out to town to compare what happened in the past with what is happening today?
Mm.
And I say clearly that Nigerians must note that, oh yes, there was a past where bombs were exploding in Abuja.
Mm-hmm.
But today we have in Nigeria where if you don't have a gun or a security detail, you find it difficult to travel from Abuja to Kaduna.
Mm.
You find it difficult to travel to Mina. And so what was then bombing and all that has changed to kidnap for ransom.
The dynamics
so we have
changed.
We have the same security problem everywhere. What we must do is take away the politics and deal with the issues. Government must sit up and put a proper value on lives and property. There must be a primacy of lives and property in this country. When we do that, you find out that the politicians, rather than the diatribes and the conflict between Otom and the man in Bauchi,
Mohammed,
rather than the APC calling the PDP a party of haters and vice versa, we must understand that conflict, insecurity, is indiscriminate of political parties.
Chris, let's go to break. When we return, we'll take more thoughts. We'll go to the telephone and social media to take people's reaction to what we've discussed so far on the show today. Stay here, Lagos. We'll be back.
Some say leaders are born. Others... This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome back to the Morning Crossfire. I am Sheriff Quatri. We're live on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. You can listen from our app as well, our mobile app, Nigeria Info FM. Get it from Google Play Store and Apple iOS Store. You can also listen live from our website, directly from our website, nigeriainfo.fm. This morning, we're looking at the state of the nation, the spate of kidnap of students for ransom and its effects on education in Nigeria. 0700-993-993-993. That's 0700-993-993-993. For the female listener, the number you can call is 01-465-7190. For those who don't already have that number, the female line only, just the females only. 01-465-7190. 90. Yeah, you can call that line and let's have a conversation. Chris Onwukobia is here and he's been sharing his knowledge with us this morning on the best way to nip this in the bud. Feel free to join the conversation. Yeah, you can also drop your thought with us on Facebook. We're live there. Let me know what you think about what we've said so far in the morning. Please turn off your radio when you're calling me. A lady will first pick your call. Speak with a lady. The lady just wants to know your name and where you're calling from so she can patch you through to the studio. And I can see your name here. Then I'll announce your name on air that you're here with us this morning. All right. Please be patient with her. In the meantime, get your thoughts in on Facebook. On Twitter, use the hashtag NigeriaInfoMCF on Twitter. Sorry, NigeriaInfoMCF. Let's look at Medina. Medina is calling us from Ikeja this morning. Medina, hi. Good morning to you. Hi, Medina. Morning.
Okay. I'd like to continue.
Yes, let's have you.
Your guests today are spoken very well.
Thank you. Very well.
Medina, are you there? Oh, yes. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now, Medina.
I hope people in authority have actually said all that you have said. No persistent politics. If you actually know the result and no sentiment, you don't take the objective and just taking the advice from these gentlemen.
Right.
They are talking really well. I appreciate your knowledge and I pray God to keep you with knowledge. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Medina, for calling. Let's begin Victor this morning. Victor is in Alagwale. Victor, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, sir.
Morning.
Yes, sir. I want to say that our president has made all this thing be this way. Because if he stands his feet and he wants to walk, all this nonsense he will stop in this country.
Mm.
If he calls all the northern governors and sit them down and say that if this thing continues, you will get out from that place.
Mm.
And I will deal for all the banners that is going on over that place.
Mm.
I believe that all this thing will stop.
Okay.
And if he cannot do it, as he has established, maybe kidnappers, Nigerian demigod for them, may they continue kidnap. And maybe even know where they're taking them to. Because if he register a company record, call maybe kidnapper, Nigerian demigod, that one should be better. That if they kidnap them and they take them there, he will know where he can pay money and rescue them. Than taking them at the bush.
Right. Right. Thank you, Victor, for calling me. Appreciate it. Let's speak with Charles quickly now. Hi, Charles. Good morning. Charles is lucky, by the way. Charles, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Morning to you.
Yes. Thank you for this opportunity. I think you have a wonderful guest there. I'm just going to give you a practical example of what happened to me.
Okay.
The fact that the North is, particularly the Northern leaders, they had a problem. I had my NYC 32 years ago.
Okay.
And I was posted to a local government in the North. When the fact is coming, that's when you see the chairman of the local government. That's when you see all of them. The money will be maybe pay salary and the remaining shared, and everybody goes away. Nothing about development, nothing about the children, nothing about schools, nothing about roads. The whole belief is the responsibility of the federal government. So the children were totally abandoned. During the course of my service, I was posted to the South.
Okay.
And what I witnessed was totally different.
Mm.
If you don't come to work, you're in trouble in the South. But over there, nobody cares. So this, I believe they are using this as a political pawn.
Okay.
And it is high time the president stand his ground. If he really wants to solve this problem, he can do it. President Obasanjo did something in Lodi. Unfortunately, it wasn't appropriate. But then he put his foot down and there was a stop. So the president can do it if he wants to do it.
All right, then.
Thank you.
Thank you, Charles, for calling me. Appreciate it. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sharif.
Good morning to you.
This is Madam Ify.
Welcome.
Prof, good morning.
Good morning, madam.
If you ask me, Sharif.
Right.
Let them close down all boarding schools up north. Let the students go to their schools from home, close to any government school around. At least every local government must have a place, a government school. Because they are now using it as a bait. After school, we'll go to the boarding house and go and pack them. By the time all of them go to school from home, we'll see whether they will come to the assembly hall to pack children in the morning. That's my because if this thing will still continue, so long as we're settling them. When it's Jangede tomorrow it could be Brute, it could be you, you know, they'll be going.
Right.
And we'll be spending our money
right
on bandits.
Right.
Good morning.
Right.
That's my own opinion.
Morning to you too, Madam Ifi. Thank you for calling me. Chukwuebuka is here. Hi, Chukwuebuka.
Sheriff.
Good morning to you.
I hope at the end of every month, you people will list all of us and send back our credit to us. You're laughing. Good morning. Good morning to your guests. I mean, wonderful guests you have this morning.
Good
Sheriff.
Morning, my brother.
I mean, God bless you, sir.
Amen.
The truth must be told all the time. I believe in the truth. He hit the nail on the head on every aspect.
Thank you.
My take is this. You know, I'm not surprised most times.
Why?
With all the promises and all what that has been said. The question is, who are these leaders that we have? What was their motive before they were even elected? They have leaders who will eliminate someone before getting to that position. Leaders who will spend money before getting to that position. Has it come to serve? Has it come to do the right thing? People think they are clueless. They're not clueless. They know what to do. But because of what they want, they're after their own, I mean, what they will gain, that's why they put it forth before all that is happening right now. What does it take? I keep asking this question. In the military, that's what you call intelligence.
Okay.
What happens to the intelligence in the military? I keep asking that question until tomorrow. They're no longer functional. I rest my case.
Oh, Chukwuebuka. Thank you for resting your case. I'm going to take one call, then I'll come to Chris in the studio here. Hi, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, yes. My name is Juliet.
All right, Juliet.
And I'm calling from VI.
Welcome, Juliet. Let's talk.
Yes. Honestly, anytime I listen to the radio stations and I hear they talk about insecurity, I feel so scared because I have five daughters. And most of the time, I keep wondering, you know, this insecurity, let's analyze it in a way.
Okay.
For instance, the kidnappers, they go to the schools to kidnap these children. They don't go with one vehicle or two or three. They go with, you know, at least two, three, four
vehicles. Convoy,
that's right. Them. How do they feed them? I remember when Chibok girls were released, some of them were released. The state government then was crying for help, for the government to help them in feeding these children, in taking care of them. Now, these children are under the custody of these kidnappers or these, wherever they are called. How are they fed? Don't they go to market to buy foodstuff to feed them? Who cook the food that they eat? How do they take care of people and all that? Is it not somebody that's sponsoring all this? We all have families. If you have a family of 10, I'm sure, my brother, you know what it takes to feed them.
True.
Hello?
I'm with you, Juliet. We're listening.
How do they now feed all these children every day? Breakfast, lunch, dinner, to keep them alive there. And yet we're here talking every day. These things are sponsored by human beings. The government and the people involved know themselves, and they know the people behind all this. I am only pleading. My heart bleeds most of the time. I keep crying and saying, God, in as much as I have daughters, I don't wish this kind of a thing to happen to them. But how about these other people's children who are passing through trauma? Chibok girls, when they came back, some of them had children. A lot of them were impregnated. They were molested. They were abused. Some of them that have not been released as we speak are probably those that resisted them. They were killed. Some of them were used as suicide bombers. They would tie the bomb on them and throw them into wherever they want to explode. And it would be exploded. And these are human beings. And government is keeping quiet. We are not doing anything about it. Are they stronger than the whole Nigeria? If everybody stands up to them, will they be conquered? Will they be defeated? So why are we keeping quiet? Because they're not our children. I pray and really pray every day, asking God to intervene. You know, I usually don't like calling because I think our voices are not heard. But the guest you have this morning touched me. I'm driving. I've been weeping. I've been shedding tears. I say, God, save us. Because of these children intervene. Please, I want the government to do something. It is painful to have people's children suffer this way. Thank you.
Thank you, Juliet, for calling. Appreciate it. Chris, you heard Juliet. Quite an emotional submission there.
No, it's, you know, each time I talk about these kids, I remember I wrote an article a few months after the Chibok kidnap. And I said, the death of innocence. And the second year after they were taken away, when some had returned and a few others were still left, I said, who knows what has happened to the innocence of Chibok. You know, so many of these girls were taken into captivity as young girls, violated, deflowered by unholy and ungodly men, and left with the pain and the trauma for a lifetime. As I talked to you this morning, I think that the time has come for government. And I truly want to say this, that government can deal with this issue. Because, like she said, intelligence gathering, the guy that called before her said the same thing. We must activate the protocol of gathering information across our societies. And I say this seriously, that when we do that, you find out that in the markets, if somebody comes to buy food that otherwise a normal family cannot consume.
Right.
Somebody should trigger the red flag.
That should trigger something.
You know. Now, and besides that, traditional leaders must step up the ante. Government must collaborate with them. I think that the time has come for us to learn to truly be our brother's keeper. I say this deeply and seriously, that the two major religions that we practice in this part of the world simply says, and they uphold the golden rule, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your might. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. If you truly love your neighbor as yourself, if you truly care about your neighbor's daughter or son, you'd, in consonance with the injunction of your faith, inform the police when you suspect something. And that's exactly why I've said that it's sad that the instrumentality of the NOA has practically gone to sleep. Because if you're sending out flyers and information across the country and saying, just like the DSS at some point will say, if you hear something, say something. If you know something, say something. I think that the speed of gathering intelligence and information would help improve the security architecture. And then the Nigerian armed forces and those who should pretend as security architecture must also learn to discreetly manage information. Because I don't know about other climes. I don't know about any climb where every so often, once there's a feat, the army addresses a press conference, releases information. I think that it helps the insurgents with
the right information.
Yes. You know, I remember when South African missionaries and American missionaries came to help in the fight against insurgents in the Northeast. They said clearly that the reason they left was that after planning an operation, before setting out, of course, they would send a decoy. They find out that what everything they had planned out was already in the purview,
you know, I was exactly going to ask you that, you know, as to whether you feel there's some kind of sabotage in the kidnap of these children. You mentioned this in passing earlier, that people are living in that area. There's no way such operation will be coming and nobody would know about it.
Quadri, clearly this is big business. Clearly, you know, you can't keep... Let's start from the Boko Haram insurgents. How do you feed 10,000 people in
South Africa? How do you do that?
Who gives you money? How? Where do you get the money from? How do you get drugs for the sick? How do you get supplies? These are things that, you know, the witch cried last night, the child dies this morning. You know, it was Abacha who said something that was fundamental, that an insurgency survives 1 month. You know that there's collusion within the frontiers of government. And remember the late Azazi said that that Boko Haram had people in the villa. They had people who were working with them. And clearly, to have survived the firepower of the Nigerian armed forces for 13 years, it tells you that they have cover-ups in high places. And as you and I talk, this issue of bandits taking our kids for ransom, it's clearly obvious that even if they are giving them kulikuli, you don't... 300 kids... How much are you going to spend? You give them water, how much are you going to spend? It must raise the red flag. And so how do we manage this? You know, the time has come, simply. And I think that government must understand that what affects one directly affects the other indirectly. We're where we are because successive administrations failed to deal with the future of our children, failed to put primacy on education. I'll give you a practical instance before
I
bury this.
Yes, please.
ASUU was looking for, they said they could go back to school with $80 billion. It was difficult for government to give ASUU $80 billion. But we had, the government gave me Yetiala $100 billion. And then you ask yourself, where's your value system? Where's the sense of priority? If there is anything we must put primacy on, education of our children, and not only the safety of our children, fundamentally, we must deal with, that's what the world is talking about now, protecting kids in school.
That's right.
You know, I tell you, societies are evolving and developing chiefly because they put primacy on education. Unfortunately, us has refused to. What does Boko Haram mean? No to Western education. I'll give you a practical. You're going to laugh when I give you. Dubai, the United Arab Emirates, has major Western educational protocol. They have about the best research institutes around the Arab world. They are exposing and opening the economy to Western influence and impact.
That's right.
Saudi Arabia, as you and I talk, the home of Islam,
that's right,
have banned underage marriage. If you're not up to 18, you can't marry in Saudi Arabia, the home of Islam. And so when I listen to people make arguments about, some people are saying, okay, if a woman is married under 18, she should be deemed an adult. And I said, what kind of argument are these people making? The time has come for us to understand that if we do not cater to these kids, we're going to harvest rashes. And that's exactly what we have. The North is brewing in a foul stew that her past leaders cooked.
What is the role
And
of
this present leadership
yeah.
must address the fundamentals and ensure that tomorrow is safer than today. They must do it now.
Right. I need to get your last word on this, but hey, let's squeeze in one call, then I will get your last word. Good morning to you. Oh, I think we lost that one. We're going to squeeze in another one. Hello, good morning. Ah, we lost that one as well. Okay, let's try the last one. Good morning to you.
Hello?
Morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, please. What's your name?
My name is Mohamed Lawal Dawaki, for short. I'm MD Lawal.
Okay, MD Lawal, where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from Lagos, from my papa.
All right, let's talk, MD Lawal.
I want to make a temperature. Let me quickly rush.
Yes, please.
The last lady that I called, she spoke about how these kidnapped kids were being moved from one point to another, that they use vehicle. I want to correct that question because I happen to be a victim.
Oh, you were
a
victim.
They don't use vehicle. They don't use vehicle. I was kidnapped at Jere along Kaduna Road, and I spent 5 days with them. What they do is that, in fact, I was captured around 7 a.m. in the morning. Before we got to their camp, it was 6 in the evening.
Oh, my God.
Trekking, hadn't beaten, no food, no water, no nothing. After spending 5 days with them, we were released. We were about 51. When we were released, to my surprise, we trekked for just less than 30 minutes and we got to the road.
What?
Less than 30 minutes. And we trekked from morning to 6 in the evening. You know, I read geography in university, so I started thinking, how did they do it? One of them just directed us, okay, if you follow, you see that tree, Kabina, one tembuchia, let me translate, one tembuchia, like a kebake hanya, meaning, if you go to that tree, move a little bit, you'll get to the road. To my surprise, in less than 30 minutes, we are on the express. I now discover that when we go to the booth, these people were taking us round and round from morning till evening. They were taking us round. And that was why when we were released, we spent just less than 30 minutes, and we got to the road. They are not using vehicle. Now, let's go to Jengebi.
Yes.
What they did at Jengebi was, when they packed these girls, they started shooting sporadically. Firing, 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 firing. Nobody could go out. They were hiding these girls, pushing them like cows to the bush. You can imagine what happened. How do they feed 317 girls? We should not forget, some of them are already at puberty age. They're going to menstruate. They are likely going to menstruate at different times. How will they manage them? I'm only trying to emphasize what these girls are really going through right now. I have six children. I have three girls. I am imagining, I'm thinking, what if my daughter happened to be among these girls? Good morning, Mr. Sheriff, sir.
Thank you, MD Lawal. Thank you. Quite an interesting call. I mean, I need not add anything to that, really. But Chris, we must go now.
Sad story. But let me say this as my parting shot. Yes. That the time has come for government to treat the issue of lives with fundamental concern and attention. We must declare a state of emergency on education, a state of emergency on national security. Save and accept that is done, these vistas of conflict will continue. And we don't know what will become of all of us. You know, you're safe today. I pray we continue to be safe. I think that the time has come for all those who superintend our country at the leadership level to throw away partisanship and deal with this issue as a fundamental national challenge.
Indeed. Chris Markovia, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
The pleasure's mine.
Always a pleasure to have you here. Lagos, let's go to a quick break. When we return from this quick break, I will see if I can squeeze in a few comments on Facebook. I mean, the conversation has been quite interesting that we haven't taken any thought on Facebook and on WhatsApp and Twitter this morning. No thanks to Chris. Chris, we're done, eh? Let's go to break. We'll be right back. Stay here. So, Lagos, that's what we go for you on the Morning Crossfire for today. Many thanks to you. Well, you can chat me up. I'm on social media all day and every day at Sheriff Quatri on Twitter, at Sheriff Quatri on Instagram, and at Sheriff Quatri on LinkedIn. I'll be waiting to hear from you. In the meantime, I am still here. I am not going anywhere because Wemimo Adewuni will not be in today. So I'll be your host on Table Talk right after the news at 9. So stay here. Let's have a good, great conversation. In the meantime, you can follow Nigeria Info on our socials at Nigeria Info FM on Twitter, Nigeria Info FM Lagos on Instagram.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.